Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter. Purdue's training camp starts this week on the Golden Black Radio podcast. We'll break down the storylines from the QB competition to the defensive installation, tell you a few guys we want to watch, assuming we can watch more than just the opener on Thursday, and much more. Kyle Charters here with Tom Dienhard for Gold and Black Radio. That practice, Tom, gets underway on Friday, with the first practice. I've lost track of what today is, which is a little bit of a problem since we're recording this podcast a day later than usual. But we'll be able to watch on Friday. Man, it feels like, does it not feel like this has been one of the longest off seasons ever? And maybe it's because Purdue just played six games last year, and you know we haven't seen the Boilermakers a lot here over the last several months. But certainly, it has added a little bit to the intrigue, I think, at the beginning of this season.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Kyle. I think, you know, just like you said, playing six games last year, we had limited exposure as it was. And, of course, spring practice was shut out as well. They handled all that through Zoom. So we really haven't laid our eyes on the players in months. So the run-up has been a lengthy one. But here we are. The season is on our doorstep. As you mentioned, Friday, 6 p.m., Purdue will have an open practice to the public. And I guess come one, come all, right? And they're going to show a movie afterwards. So that's the beginning of in August with 25 practices, which is going to be the run-up to, of course, the September 4th opener at home against Oregon State, which looms awfully large.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, so we'll at least be able to look at some of the players that Purdue has, though they'll be in shorts, I'm sure, and not in full pads because they can't be on practice number one. But let's go through a couple of guys that we want to be able to take a look at on Friday and then hopefully beyond during this training camp. I'll give you a list of a few of mine, Tom, and then we'll let you follow up. TJ Sheffield, I think, is one because he's going to play a bigger role, we would think, offensively this year. Pretty big hole to fill there in the slot, which I think will be occupied some by Jackson Anthrop as well. But TJ Sheffield maybe a little bit more of a big play breaker potentially. George Karloftis, for the obvious reasons, hopefully he'll have a bounce back year after, you know, being sidelined by COVID and the injury. OC Brothers, linebacker. We didn't get to see him in the spring, even though he was here. I think that's a pretty obvious choice because Purdue needs playmaking linebackers, to say the least. Greg Long, to sort of see where he's at, right side, left side, obviously coming back for this super senior season. And one of the cornerbacks, CJ McWilliams, because Purdue needs another corner out there and maybe the transfer will help to solidify that position. Who are some of the ones that you want to look at?
Yeah, first, of course, you know, McWilliams isn't going to make it, Kyle. He had an issue.
Oh, I mentioned the wrong corner. The other corner from Kentucky. Yeah, Jamari Brown. Sorry.
Yeah.
From Kentucky.
I think Jamari Brown may have a chance to eventually maybe crack the starting lineup. I think you have a good list of guys. They're OC Brothers, the linebacker from Auburn, like you said. He could end up being a difference maker at a position that right now, when you just look at it on paper, you kind of wonder who the difference maker is going to be. And, of course, Coach Brown had a lot of good things to say about OC this spring. So he's a guy definitely we're all going to keep good close tabs on. And, yeah, Big George, right? He's going to be on every watch list imaginable. And he looks like he's torqued up, Kyle, and ready to go to really cash in on what was, you know, a season last year that was unfulfilling because of his injury and COVID diagnosis. I think he really wants to excel this year, really look dialed in media days. And, yeah, offensively, TJ Sheffield, boy, the slot spot taking Rondale Moore, I think he's a guy that's primed for a breakout in his redshirt sophomore season. That wide receiver position, Kyle, you know, even without Rondale Moore, I think it's going to be a heck of a strength. You know, in addition to Sheffield, you're talking about Milton Wright, of course, David Bell, and I really like the transfer from Marshall, Brock Thompson. I think he can end up playing a real key role for him this year.
Yeah, that's a name to watch too, just because he's sort of this, I don't want to necessarily surprise addition, but a guy that a year ago you weren't anticipating being part of the mix there. All right, let's talk some storylines. Some of them are obvious, right? I mean, we've got the QB competition. That will continue for the 100th consecutive year for Purdue. What are some of the other ones that you're looking at getting underway on Friday?
Yeah, you know, I think offensive line, we all know the importance of that position and how it's got to develop this year. They devoted two full-time assistant coaches to that unit, of course, Dale Williams. And then they promoted Neil Calabrese from an analyst role to an assistant O-line coaching role. So that group's got to come together. And you talked about Greg Long and your players to watch. He may end up being the bellwether of that line. It was a real surprise for the staff last year. That he played a lot better than I think they really anticipated. And like you said, is he going to be on the left side? Is he going to be on the right side? I think he may get his first crack on the left side, and we'll see what happens at right tackle. Maybe that's Cam Craig. So I think for sure the O-line is going to be a huge storyline. You mentioned quarterback. I'm still leaning toward Aiden O'Connell, maybe being a slight favorite there. And I think just overall, Kyle, the defense, let's just lump it all together, okay? Six transfers have been added to the mix on that side of the ball, and every assistant coach is new. Of course, there's a new scheme. I mean, there's so many moving parts and new items on that side of the ball that's going to be really imperative for it all to come together here in August so they can hit the ground running in September.
How many of those transfers do you think will start on defense? At least two, probably, right?
Right out of the gate, Kyle, I'm not sure if any of them will. I could be wrong. OC Brothers has the best chance, I think. I think he'll be the quickest in the starting lineup. I think Jamari Brown also has a chance to move in that lineup quickly. And I'll tell you what, buddy, I really think that the gem, I'm going to call him the sleeper of the transfer class, is the kid Christopher Jefferson, the free safety from Findlay University in Ohio. He's a little short. I think they list him at 5'10", but well, he was an All-American at that level. And I know it's a big jump up from D2 to the Big Ten, the speed, the size, the players, but I know the staff's intrigued by him. They worked him out. I think he's the kind of guy that can end up having a nice impact in the back end of that defense. Maybe he ends up getting a starting spot at some point, but again, look for Brothers and Jamari Brown to have the best chances of the transfers on defense to start right away. And, you know, Joe Anderson, I think, is a backup at end. And DeMarjay Lewis, you know, Prince Boyd, the tackles. I think right now they probably project as backups.
Yeah. I know you've been going position by position with freshmen, too, whether, you know, redshirt or play. There are probably a few that at least will get an opportunity to play. Maybe the number one guy that we're looking at is Yanni Karloftis because, you know, he's been a good player at West Lafayette, but also comes in a position where Purdue needs some more bodies as well, and that being at linebacker. Now, he has had a hamstring issue that kept him out of most of his senior year and then sidelined him for a bunch of the spring. Where is he in terms of being able to get back out there this fall?
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, he graduated high school early, got to Purdue, but like you said, the hamstring issue that he brought to campus with him kept him out all of spring football. He's healthy now, Kyle. He was cleared in June. He's been working out. I'm told he looks good. And there's no doubt about it. Yanni is going to play a role this year. No big shock there, right? The four-star recruit, one of the bigger linebacking signees they've had in, gosh, 10, 15, 20 years maybe. Will he start at some point this year? I think that's the question you kind of wonder about, isn't it? I think there's an outside shot of that happening. I still think maybe it's a bit of a long shot, but without a doubt, I think Yanni is going to play a role at linebacker this year. He's not going to redshirt. Strong side linebacker, Kyle, he's not the quickest, most elite speed guy in the world, but like his brother George, he plays with a lot of fire and a lot of intensity, and he brings a real edge to the field.
What about other freshmen? The chance for other freshmen to see the field?
You know, it's probably slim, to be honest with you. I don't think any of the defensive backs have a real good shot. Javon Grigsby, the kid from Louisiana, is a safety, may have the best, but I think he's probably going to redshirt like the other two DBs. Yanni, of course, was the only linebacker You know, they had a kid named Tristan Cox who came as a linebacker, Kyle, but he moved to Leo in the spring. He may have an outside shot, possibly. At the very least, I think he could be a special teamer. You know, offensively, I just don't know if they've got anybody of that ilk. They don't really don't need any help at receiver. Of course, the line is the line, and quarterback, running back, maybe Jaquez Cross, the running back, but I still think he'll probably redshirt. He's got some speed, which they need back there, but I just think he's the kind of kid that's going to need to add some strength and size.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit of Big Ten football as the rest of it gets underway as well. We'll hit that next on Gold and Black Radio.
It's time to boiler up and join the Braum squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic, the restaurant that's built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer-inspired cocktails and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
Not only Purdue getting its training camp underway, the rest of the Big Ten schools will as well as we get set for the 2021 season, a season in which, Tom, we hope is a little bit more normal than what it was last year. At least that's the hope for everybody, I hope, and hopefully we're still trending in the right direction, though I suppose there's a little bit of question these days about that. But without getting into all of that, let's break down a little bit of the Big Ten West. I think it's probably the usual suspects at the top. Wisconsin, Iowa, a lot of people like the Hawkeyes because I think Iowa ended the season, on a win streak. It didn't play its bowl game because of COVID issues. You know, the Badgers have a good young quarterback and, you know, will probably be about the same as what they have been. Perhaps Northwestern, again, is there. How do you see things sort of shaking out? You know, Minnesota, we should mention as well. How do you see things shaking out in the Big Ten West?
Yeah, I think Wisconsin, like you mentioned, I think they're going to be the consensus favorite. They are the consensus favorite. Big shock there, right? They sort of own the Big Ten West and the bellwether program. They're the one everybody's chasing in that division. And I guess until otherwise, I know we've seen Northwestern win it. But again, until otherwise, you always got to pick the Badgers, I think. And they're coming off kind of a weird year, Kyle. Talked about Graham Mercy, have a good young quarterback, but they didn't run the ball like they typically do in the past. They need that stud running back. So we'll see if that emerges for them as well. They're going to be good on defense again, especially at linebacker. And, again, I think Iowa's probably your second-best team. Spencer Petras is like a riser at quarterback for them. And then after that, I'll tell you what, it's pretty jumbled. I always put Illinois at seventh. But from 3 to 6, I think you can make a case mix any of those teams up and come up with your own order. If things click right for any of those teams. You mentioned Northwestern. Ryan Hiklinski, the quarterback transfer from South Carolina, is he going to be the answer? Uh-huh. Minnesota wants to bounce back. Of course, they're coming off a tough year after that, 10-win season. 2019, Tanner Morgan regained his form at quarterback. In Nebraska, you want to talk about a coach that's got something to prove. Scott Frost, still looking for his first bowl trip. He has a new boss now. Chubb Albert is the new AD. Are they going to turn the corner finally as well? And so, again, it's an interesting division. And, of course, there's Purdue. And I know they have a tough schedule, and they have their share of questions, too. But if things click, who knows, maybe the Boilermakers can finish in the upper half of that division.
You know, when Jeff Brom became Purdue's coach and then Scott Frost became Nebraska's, we thought that those two teams were going to be the two that rose to the top, and each has had its own set of questions, I think, through the first several years of tenure for those two coaches. It seems like at some point those programs will start to head up the ladder a little bit in the Big Ten West. It's just a question of which one sort of does it first.
Yeah, big game. You know, Purdue goes to Lincoln this year. Jeff Brom has done pretty well against Nebraska. Probably should have beat him last year at home. That was a tough loss. And remember that game in 17, he lost at home. I think the very last play of the game, it was a hard pill to swallow. Of course, Purdue won in Ross 8-19. I think Aiden O'Connell came off the bench and led the team to victory. And, of course, Purdue won in Lincoln the last time there in 18. So you're right. Two programs search for that same goal, trying to break through. And I just think there's more pressure on Frost, Kyle. Like I said, he has a new boss. We know the expectations out there at Nebraska are huge. To not even get to a bowl yet for Scott Frost is really a head scratcher. A lot of roster turnover. Adrian Martinez is back at quarterback. They have to go to Oklahoma this year. I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see how Frost does here in his fourth season in Lincoln and his alma mater.
That's what the Big Ten West looks like as of now. What it will look like in a couple of years maybe has yet to be determined. We have seen sort of the first wave here of conference realignment with Texas and Oklahoma. Is this over now for now, or is – you know, that just the first domino to fall in what will be a bunch of others here for potentially the Big Ten, the Pac-12, maybe the ACC, the AAC down the line.
Real after that soup there, buddy. We did this exercise, 10 or so years ago, when, of course, Missouri, A&M, go to the SEC, Nebraska, Rutgers, Maryland, to the Big Ten. We saw some other shifting across the country, and it looks like here we are again, a whole nother era and more consolidation. I mean, Kyle, this could extend beyond just conferences to the whole abolishment of the NCAA as we know it. So who knows where this is going? I mean, these are seismic changes that maybe the whole sport collectively is facing here. But football-wise, I have to think maybe, you know, we could see more. I certainly hope the Big Ten's kicking tires and making phone calls and being proactive. I'll be honest, I'm a little disappointed. You kind of wonder if the Big Ten made a run at Texas at all. That would have been a nice feather in the league's hat to have gotten that. You wonder what Jim Delaney would have been doing if he was the commissioner. But here we are, and, you know, we've seen all types of wild speculation, buddy, from the Big Ten casting its eyes west. How about adding Washington, Oregon, Cal, and USC, schools of that ilk, or maybe going east, trying to bring in North Carolina, Georgia Tech, Virginia, of course. Those were some schools mentioned when all this was going on, like I said, 10 or so years ago. So anything's possible. Anything's on the table. Every man for themselves. And, again, the Big Ten, if they want to keep pace with the SEC, they almost have to make a move, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of like the regional feel of conferences, but I think we're close to that being just over, right? I mean, if the Big Ten wants to actually make a splash, adding Kansas and Iowa State just doesn't do much for me, nor does it do a whole lot for your TV eyeballs either. I mean, Kansas as a football program is horrible, though it would be nice as a basketball program. And Iowa State, while it's, you know, probably a pretty decent athletic program, doesn't really move the meter at all. If you're going to make a splash, you're right. You either have to go far east or far west.
If you're gonna make a move, Kyle, it's got to be for one of the huge blue blood big brand programs in America. You don't make a move down to Iowa State. It's got to be, and again, to back up a little bit, I think we all know the schools that you'd have to add to really enhance your overall picture as a conference. And again, out west, USC is a school you definitely would want to add. Perhaps UCLA as well. I still think Washington would be a heck of a school to add. Maybe one of the Bay Area schools. And then, honestly, if there's always Notre Dame, right? And I know the Big Ten has knocked on that door many times over the years and got no response. But maybe you make that knock once again. Certainly a school you'd love to have in your league. And then with the ACC, you know, North Carolina, I'm kind of lukewarm on Georgia Tech and Virginia. You know, I don't think Clemson or Florida State would come to the Big Ten, but those are the type of schools, if you're going to make an addition, I think you have to shoot for. You don't shoot for the Kansases, Ohio States, Baylors, and Texas Techs.
Yeah. All right, Tom. Nice to be talking football and actual football being played here soon. Looking forward to start of camp. We'll talk to you again soon.
Take care, buddy.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll put a cap on this podcast with that coming up on Golden Black Radio. As we blitz into 2021, JFQ Lending is extending an exclusive offer for Golden Black members to take advantage of historically low mortgage rates. JFQ Lending will cover any out-of-pocket costs for an appraisal when required. In addition, they will cover the underwriting fee of $1,365. JFQ Lending is a Better Business Bureau A rating with more than 2,000 reviews. They work with the top lenders and do the hard work of finding the best deal for you. If you're curious whether refinancing your mortgage is a good decision, reach out to Andrew Hogberg today. Call 480-478-0257 or email Andrew at ahogberg, A-H-O-G-B-E-R-G at jfqlending.com. Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and fire pits. This is your solution for the hard to shop for and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's grill. Visit gridironmetal.com. Golden Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Home Field makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs. Check it out today. The Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to list, buy, upsize, downsize, or anything else, give me a call or text 765-412-5217 or email kyle@chartersteam.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
And more on the site, goldenblack.com, as we lead up to the start of training camp on Friday. Be sure to check that out, goldenblack.com. All right, that'll do it for our podcast for this week. We'll be back again at the usual time next week with the podcast dropping on Monday. Thanks to our sponsors. For Tom Dienhart, I'm Kyle Chargers. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.